Rockify your life today.
A horrible mid-air collision over the Hudson River. Boy, I was shocked when I heard this. 9 people dead. They pulled the copter out of the water today. It was very tough, obviously, because of the conditions and how murky the water is. When you look down from any of the bridges, you could certainly sense that and see it. But a horrible thing for those people. Some Italian tourists killed in that. 1 million people evacuated parts of China because of a typhoon. Ooh, it was nasty. And Tiger Woods, speaking of nasty, nasty with the stick or sticks. He wins his 70th PGA tournament. We'll talk about it in sports shorts. But first, over the weekend, ooh, he was one of my favorite dolls when I was a kid. Guess what number one at the box office was?
What happened?
You passed out.
Remember, if someone faints,
never lift their head.
You got it.
Now we know.
And knowing's half the battle.
G.I. Joe.
Ah, yes. G.I. Joe, The Rise of the Cobra, had actually some bad buzz going into the weekend, but the scathing reviews didn't matter. Oh, man, people turned out for this thing. 46.2 million. That's one of the best openings for a non-sequel, because if you remember Transformers, all that stuff, all of the big movies, like Night at the Museum, all of them have been sequels. This was not a sequel. So congratulations to the makers of G.I. Joe. I heard they had a hard time getting that script as a go. I like G.I. Joe. I didn't see the flick, but I'm dying to see it, to be honest. Gregory Brown joins us now. You know, there are G.I. Joe collectors clubs all over the country. He's the VP of one in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and he joins us on our national show. Hey, Greg, thanks for hanging late with us. We appreciate it.
Pleasure to be here.
So what's the lore of G.I. Joe that kind of continues to hang with us even as we get a little bit older and we're not 10 years old anymore?
As far as, like, the history of G.I. Joe?
Yeah,
or,
yeah.
Well, G.I. Joe started actually back in 1964, and this is back when G.I. Joe was actually 12 inches tall, and he was actually modeled after more of, like, the 1950s, 1960s military figure. And then it was more, it was obviously more military, but he was kind of a nameless guy. They only had a Marine, they had a soldier, they had an airborne guy, Air Force, and they also had a Navy guy. But the G.I. Joe that the movie is based on is actually based upon G.I. Joe as he was conceived in 1982 when he was converted, obviously shortened down to 3 3/4 inch, and he became G.I. Joe Real American Hero. And that spawned comic books, cartoons, action figures, the whole nine yards.
Yeah, so do you think when they did that in 82 that that's also spawned a whole new generation of collectors? That's your business. Do you think that more people got interested in G.I. Joe that maybe missed the boat?
Well, I would say yes, 110% yes on that because, you had your 60s, you had your 70s G.I. Joe collectors, and so Hasbro was looking for a way, you know, hey, how can we bring G.I. Joe back? And they saw that Star Wars was doing very successfully with the 3 3/4 inch figures, and they said, "Hey, let's bring G.I. Joe back. Let's make him smaller." And it was an instant hit again.
Yeah, no kidding. Do you have a lot of different G.I. Joes? Do you have from G.I. Joe from the different eras? What's your personal collection like?
I was actually born at a time when G.I. Joe was kind of fading in the 70s, so I was actually collecting the Kung Fu Grip. You know, Fuzz had G.I. Joe in the 70s, and then in the 80s, I mean, I was still at an age where I was, you know, I started collecting the 3 3/4 inch. So I'm kind of caught right in the middle of my age group. I'm a little bit torn between the two. I still like the Kung Fu Grip and the guys with the fuzz-haired beards and the Adventure Team and that whole thing, but I still like, you know, Snake Eyes and Duke and Scarlet and all of them as well.
What do you think it is about G.I. Joe that, as you said, there were changes in G.I. Joe, but what is it about the G.I. Joe character that interests so many of us? I mean, bringing it back around, why is it? It's kind of like Barbie. Barbie continues, even though we're going through different generations. Still, Barbie's still out there hanging in, even with those darn Bratz dolls. But G.I. Joe is also hanging in there, too. So do you think it's because of the whole macho warrior, like you said, it's, you know, American hero now? Do you think that's the deal? Like, hey, this is our American dude. This is our guy. This is our fighter. What is it?
I think when you strip it down to the barest essentials, it's basically an army man. It's a toy soldier. I mean, ever since the days when boys were playing with toys, they were playing with toy soldiers. Either they're lead toy soldiers or they're plastic toy soldiers. And then, you know, Hasbro decided, let's make them articulated. So strip it down to the core, it's that. I think the reason that the G.I. Joe Real American Hero line has stayed so strong is because, you know, it really personified the American soldier. And that, you know, that he stood up for truth, justice, the American way, and that, you know, and that whole thing. And so you really can't go wrong with that concept.
Yeah, no kidding. Are there a lot of G.I. Joe collector clubs around the country?
Yeah. There's the main club, which is the International G.I. Joe Collectors Club. And then there's different chapters, which I'm the vice president of the VFW chapter here in Texas. But yeah, there's chapters all throughout the United States. I don't know if there's any in Canada or not, but if they're cut international, I'm guessing there are some spread out throughout the world.
Yeah. Did you go and see the movie over the weekend?
Yes, I saw it this weekend and took three of my kids with me, all three of my kids, in fact, and my wife, and we all enjoyed it.
Really? So you would give it, if we asked you to grade the movie for us, since I didn't see it, A, B, C, D. I know you're not going to give the movie a D. Are you giving it an A?
I would probably say about an A to an A minus. I was a little biased because, like I said, I grew up with the Fuzzhead G.I. Joes, so I was I'm a little bit biased towards that. But, you know, if you're going, I went into it wanting to see a movie that was just good, fun, action-packed entertainment, and that's what I got.
All right, so good. So that gives us a good sense. Was Dennis Quaid good?
Dennis Quaid was okay. He kind of had that John Wayne-esque attitude on it, so he really wasn't in it as much. It was more kind of like a Channing Tatum vehicle. So.
All right, I got you there. Greg Brown, it's a pleasure. Thanks, we appreciate it.
Thank you much.
All right, Greg Brown, as we said, he's one of those G.I. Joe collectors. Those collector clubs are all over the United States, and I guess I was stunned. Like I said, it had such a bad review across the board from so many movie critics, but yet it really thrived at the box office. So, you know, second place went to the movie that a lot of people thought might end up being number one, Julie and Julia. That had like 21 point something million at the box office. So Meryl Streep did pull in some people, but not the way G.I. Joe did. Wow, that's crazy. Then there was this other movie that we previewed, if you remember, called A Perfect Getaway, the bomb of the weekend. Although the premise, of course, was funny. Oh, this couple escapes, they go to Hawaii, and then they get duped into hooking up with a bunch of losers that are trying to kill them. So The Perfect Getaway was seventh with 5.8 million. Wow. Coming up a little bit later in the show, we're going to talk about, as I mentioned, the aftermath of what now happens over the airspace in New York, because here we go again. Of course, much different than what's happened recently with the Canadian geese and stuff, and they took care of that problem. But the airspace itself and the fact that it's not regulated. Now you have a helicopter company, and you've got a small plane, and the two end up colliding, and you've got tourists who lose their life from Italy. And there have been accidents in the past, but a lot of people like to fly over Manhattan. You wonder if they're going to change the rules of the game. We'll go deep on that. But next, speaking of going deep, remember there was a movie called The Deep. I think that was from the 70s. We're going to talk about sharks with Fred Barnett as Shark Week wrapped up on the Discovery Channel. That's next here on ATN. G.I. Joe!
Silver is mankind's oldest natural antibiotic. This very special mineral has been used for centuries by most cultures throughout the world. Utopia, Texas is home to a small but mighty supplement company called Utopia Silver, who offers colloidal products produced in distilled water without use of animal protein, nitrates, or saline solutions. Because our colloidal silver is made up of nano-sized particles, it can be better utilized at the cellular level, and germs can't mutate to be resistant like they can to modern-day antibiotics. Utopia Silver has a broad range of health supplements, including colloidal silver, gold, and copper, with a money-back guarantee on the colloidal products we produce. For 4 years, Utopia Silver has been fighting in the Texas courts against agencies that would steal our God-given rights of health care and freedom of speech. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's U-T-O-P-I-A, silver.com. Or call 888-213-4338, 888-213-4338, and help us win this battle. Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2233 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
Recognize that sound? If you're taking vitamins and minerals in pill form, that's exactly where many are ending up. Hello, my name is Dr. David Friedman. According to the Physician's Desk reference, vitamins in a pill form are 10% absorbed. So for every $100 you spend on vitamins, that's $90 you're flushing down the toilet. In fact, orderlies at hospitals call these bedpan bullets. Start absorbing the nutrients you swallow. Introducing Chews for Health, a delicious tasting chewable containing 16 superfruits, sea vegetables, and antioxidants. Stop paying for nutrients your body doesn't use. Order Chews for Health today. 1-800-210-1922. The first 300 callers will receive a free copy of my best-selling CD, America's Unbalanced Diet. Isn't it time to stop flushing your vitamins down the toilet? 1-800-210-1922 or go to orderchews.com.
I should have done it to myself. I don't know how many of you watch Shark Week on the Discovery Channel. I did. And since I like to snorkel and occasionally dive, I don't know why I insist on torturing myself that way and watching, like, Blood in the Water. That was one of the episodes. Or anything to do with the summer of 2001, the summer of the shark. Because, of course, then it scares me. Then I keep thinking, well, I'm going to have to somehow figure out a way to go down in a cage. Where is it safe for me to swim? Joining us now from Hawaii, where I just was a couple of weeks ago. Awesome place. Fred Barnett. He's got a book called...
Aloha
to you. It's, the book is called Shark Stories, 101 Amazing Real-Life Shark Tales. And, Fred, I read the book. It's great because the way you lay it out, you've got pictures, and you specifically lay out the different shark attacks and also things that have happened with whales and dolphins, so there are other things thrown in there as well. What prompted you to write the book?
I'm sorry. We have sort of a delay from Hawaii here. I put in a little of everything just to show people that they don't have to worry about the sharks so much. There's many other things that can kill you out there instead. So
you can write
about the sharks.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, you're a professional underwater videographer and stuff, and you're a performer, musician, all that kind of deal. But I wondered, I asked that you probably didn't catch the delay, but what was it that made you put this book together? Did your fascination, like mine, with water and what's underneath and sharks, or what?
It was a very interesting course of action. It took over 13 years to really put the book together. I used to do a program with the public schools here in Hawaii where I would take out live animals and shark jaw specimens to show the kids in all the different grades in many different schools. And as I was showing the shark jaws, I would collect the story here and there off the odd news pages of Yahoo or wherever. And I started collecting so many of them with so many weird twists to them about sharks solving murders by finding the arm with a tattoo on it, things like that. There were so many odd shark stories of sharks jumping up on the beach and trying to eat people, things like that, that I collected them. and there was enough easily for a book. I put out a 100-page book about 13 years ago, and now it's gotten up to 300 pages. And it includes all kinds of other things that happen around the ocean. And usually a lot of these have something to do with people doing either something really silly or stupid or cruel to each other, and not so much having the shark be the bad guy in each of these stories. It's sometimes the people. So they're very evenly balanced. Sometimes the stories look like they're coming from the point of view of the shark. So.
Yeah, I noticed that. I actually like that you did it. You put some you put a lot of facts in this. Like, out of 100 shark bite victims every year, 25 die from their wounds. They don't really tell you that part of it. So that's, I think that's a pretty high amount, don't you?
Oh, yes. And a lot of them are just called missing. I could tell you many stories from Hawaii where people just considered missing. And, of course, you know, later a leg shows up here or something else shows up inside of a shark there. There are more sharks than are reported, more shark attacks than are reported. But then again, we kill over 100 million sharks, and that's a low estimate every year, just for something like shark fin soup where the rest of the body of the shark is dumped into the ocean just for the fins. And that's a terrible tragedy. And we're also ruining the ecosystem at the same time. So there's an imbalance there. But still, shark attacks are pretty rare when you consider how many people are in the water, how many sharks are in the water. They're very well behaved most of the time.
Yeah, no kidding. And you mentioned that the thing about finning. When I was in Maui, I did the Malakini Crater, and I was on the boat. They took us to Turtle Town and to the crater. And, of course, the Pacific Whale Foundation, that's their mission, is to make people aware of what's going on in the water and what's happening to all kinds of, you know, like dolphins and whales and also sharks. And they talked about that finning process. And I don't know, a lot of people listening to America Tonight realize they actually cut the fins off of the shark, so how are they going to swim? And then they use it for fin soup. It's like $50 for a bowl of fin soup, like in Japan and some other places. And so there are a lot of petitions circulating to try to stop this. Very sad that you just brought that up. How long has that been going on?
It's been going on for decades already, probably at least 100 years. I don't know how long shark fin soup has been in existence, but it's mostly boats out of the Orient who are still along all of our coastlines catching sharks, not just their own. And so they're pretty much covering the ocean and taking out just about every shark they can find, just to make a few dollars, of course. And it is very sad because eventually we won't have things like Jaws to watch anymore. We won't have Shark Week. There won't be any sharks if they keep going at the rate they're going. Already on the East Coast, they've already cut the population by 85% in just the last 15 years, you know, the entire shark population. So it's very desperate over there. It's a sad situation, yeah.
It is sad. Another interesting fact that you mentioned, which made me happy, is that you said between 1926 and 1981, only one victim was a woman. So what's the deal that men are attacked, what, 31 more times than women?
Well, up until recently, more men were in the water, and now that women are taking up water sports, you know, more actively diving and boogie boarding and surfing, you know, of course, the numbers are catching up. Sharks do not discriminate. Maybe they have this idea that they're supposed to be man-eaters, and that's what they go after, but I think that pretty soon it's going to be pretty equal. We've had a very famous surfer over here, a little gal. She's very young still, only 14. Her name's Bethany Hamilton, and she lost an arm to a shark, and that was probably our most famous attack in Hawaii in the last few years. And she's still out there surfing. You know, she just knows it was one of those things and could happen again, but, you know, she's not afraid of the ocean. She's a very brave girl.
Yeah, good for her. I know that story. It's a great story. It's a great story that she went back into the water, not a great story that it happened to her, but the way she bounced back and was so resilient, good for her. In shark stories, like, as you say, you talk about the stupidity of people that often they put themselves in the wrong place. What can people do to kind of fend off the odds in their favor? Like, not swim at night, right? Not snorkel at night in the middle of the ocean.
Right. That was one story I was involved in. But, yeah, don't snorkel at night. Always make sure you're with people. And don't carry, let's say, a string of bloody fish with you if you're diving and spearfishing. I was just talking to, in fact, the station in New Orleans two nights ago. They woke me up at 2:30 in the morning to talk to me because of our time difference. And they had a fellow who was a fisherman just surf casting, and a bull shark basically almost nearly ripped his foot off. The thing was, he was carrying a big string of fish with him, you know, in the water, attracting everything and anything that would love to eat. So, yeah, you don't carry around advertisements like that with you. As far as my own experience, I made two big mistakes one night. We were in Kona looking for manta rays, which is absolutely the most fun thing you could ever do in the ocean. It really is. But I swam away from the group. I got tired of waiting for these manta rays to show up. I got bored, so I went away from the group. I had my camera going, and I had my light down in the water, and a big shark appeared under me. And I told the group, I yelled across the water, you know, hey, come on over here. There's a shark down here. You got to see this. Everybody's saying, that's okay. You just stay over there. But meanwhile, my daughter was with my wife over near the boat where I was supposed to be. My parents were watching this whole thing from a hotel above on the cliffs, and they could hear every word that was there. And a fellow from New Mexico swam out all by himself from the shoreline, which is a good half-hour swim in the middle of the black ocean. He came out to our boat. We asked him if he needed a ride back, and he refused. And the next morning, we found out that he had disappeared. And my parents were greatly upset. You know, don't you ever take your daughter out there again? And we never got a straight answer from the police force, whatever happened to this visitor from New Mexico. But that was a dumb thing for me to swim off on my own. It could have been me. When you see these animals swim, you know you're not going to be able to outswim them.
Right.
I have a whole chapter in my book devoted to punching sharks, which surfers punching sharks, and that's one way people can defend themselves if they see a shark coming at them. They have a very sensitive nose. And so,
right, so but, just make sure you punch them. They talk about that a lot in the Discovery series, too, and you're right. You talked about that in your book, too. All right, if somebody wants to get a copy of your book, Fred, Shark Stories, how do they get it?
Well, that's the way, easiest way I found is just go to Amazon.com. It's still basically new. It's out in the stores here in Hawaii. But it's still traveling little by little. It's all over Amazon, though. It's been doing very well on Amazon. And it's been doing very well on Barnes & Noble. And we have Powell's Books over here. We have it on the West Coast, a very famous bookstore. And they're setting up a book signing for me in October. So I'll be going to the mainland in October to do a few signings.
Very good.
Heart-related health problems.
Amazon.com is great. If your listeners go to sharkstories.net, just think of the fishing net, sharkstories.net, they can find the links on my website right there and get a few samples of stories about babies rescuing dolphins, about sharks coming back to life. I call one of the stories Franken Shark.
Perfect. That's Fred, we're out of time, but that sounds good. We'll tell everyone, go to Amazon.com. Shark Stories, 101 Amazing Real Life Shark Tales. Thanks, Fred.
Oh, thank you. It's fun. And I hope to visit you sometime over there. Thank you.
Oh, thanks. Bye-bye. Coming up next, we're going to talk about health care. Talk about chumming the waters. Boy, an op-ed piece is supposed to appear in the USA Today where Nancy Pelosi accuses the people at town hall meetings of being un-American. I have some of those details next.
The GCN Radio Network. Providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
As you already know, drinking pure high-alkaline pH water is the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline ingredients. Using plasma pH drops is one of the best ways to make your water alkaline to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops per liter of water you drink to raise the pH to the ultimate level. Alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria bacteria and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline, high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or by calling 269-216-9767. That's 269-216-9767 today.
Are you concerned about an economic downfall? Would you like to have more money to invest in precious metals, food, and safety of your loved ones? With the Debt Crisis Solutions Program, you can finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy. This is not debt counseling, settlement, or debt consolidation, which may have serious legal and tax consequences. With our program, you will not pay another penny to your creditors or collectors. Protect your home, paycheck, and bank account from any lawsuits and restore your credit history. We also provide mortgage modification services, which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure problems, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123 today.
Now that you've planted your organic garden, how will you keep the bugs away without using toxic chemicals and poisons? Well, the answer is all natural insecticides from FreshwaterOrganics.com. These revolutionary insecticides start with the same organic product that we use in FPP to kill parasites. We then add a small amount of pyrethrin from chrysanthemum flowers and a mild attractant to offer you the most effective insecticide available anywhere. It can even be applied up to the day of harvest. Our natural insecticides work in the home, on plants, and in your garden, killing pests mechanically, not with poisons. So pests can't develop an immunity, and they won't harm your children or pets. It's effective against white flies, moths, bedbugs, fleas, roaches, crickets, and more, and safe enough to use on your pets, ridding them of fleas and other pests. Order now from FreshwaterOrganics.com or call 888-949-3570, 888-949-3570 today.
All right, we're back on America Tonight. Hope you had a fabulous weekend. Kate Delaney at the helm here, talking about health care reform. Still, the debate rages, and of course it does, because now in this break, in this traditional break of Congress, what will happen is a lot of people will go back to their districts, and they'll hold town meetings or some kind of a forum. They'll work on other things, and then they may take a vacation. But in the weeks leading up to the fall, it's all about health care reform and whether or not there's going to be health care reform, what it's going to look like in the end, and how you and I feel about it. And let me just say this again. It's not just the idiots, the crazies, the however you want to label people that are screaming at town hall meetings, because this keeps coming out that it's just crazy nutball fringe, right-wing extremists, whatever. And it's not true. In a check of a couple of different areas, I find that what's happened, even in an area where my grandfather is living in Tampa, that people are going from assisted living homes, people are going from various, older people are going from various neighborhoods together because they're scared to death. They don't really understand what's going on. And as I said before, the biggest part of the whole idea of healthcare reform is the misinformation that's out there. And that was that rush to push it through. So nobody really understands, because really, in all truth, there isn't a solid bill, of course, that's been formed yet. Just discussions about things that would be part of healthcare reform. So let me just say it again. It's not just the crazies. And, you know, of course, the latest poll that came out, and we told you about this at the tail end of last week, Obama's handling of health care, 39% approve, 59% disapprove. People are afraid that their health care is going to change. And what is the House plan? The House plan, by the way, in checking it, from what I could see, doesn't really bring the cost down. And isn't that the whole thing? The idea is, or at least I thought it was, is that everybody will get affordable health care. Nobody will be uninsured, and the thing here is it'll be affordable because the costs are ridiculous sometimes for a lot of people, depending on how they're covered. And so this is a way to change things. Well, not in what I could see from the House, right? And you look at the insurance companies. I mean, the insurance companies, are, of course, are going to rail against this anyway, right? So the bottom line is there is a ton of misinformation. And that's why you're getting people who are interrupting, who seem out of control, but they're not all right-wing extremists. I hate it when I keep hearing that because I've checked. I know that it's not, in many cases, just complete nutty people that are going there just to try to derail the whole idea of health care reform. Granted, it would be much better if people could just ask their questions and if they could make that clear when they hold these functions. Okay, listen, here's what we're going to debate or here's what we're going to talk to you about. And every single one of you can get in front of the microphone and let's just discuss this because that's the sad part. There's no conversation when we have all these outbursts. And it's so hot in the summertime in a place like Tampa. Here's what it sounded like last week. Yeah, and so here's the problem. You hear people, hear our voice, you represent us, that's what we're talking about, it's what we say all the time in America Tonight. It's a government of we the people, you elect the people who represent you, that's true, and the problem is the way that this was laid out in the first place. So that was the biggest mistake, and the fact that there's just too much information, nobody really knows what's going on. So now, this has bubbled up. Nancy Pelosi and Steny Hoyer have done an op-ed piece that's coming out in the USA Today. Now, apparently in this piece, they call the town hall protesters un-American. So I'm thinking, boy, if you want to try to get any kind of health care reform, writing a piece where you can write a piece, writing a piece of name-calling and, again, pointing out the people at these town halls, I don't think is a good idea. I don't think it's a good idea. I mean, even Senator McCaskill had to cancel an event because of being worried about safety since this continues to happen. And the cops had to be called to a town hall meeting in Memphis. So here's the bottom line. Do you think it's un-American for the people? I'm being serious. Do you think it's un-American for the people to go to these town hall meetings and protest what they think is happening? Like I said, of course, it would be much better. And if I were organizing one of these things, I would get the word out quickly. Listen, you want to come down here? Here's what we're going to do. I absolutely want every single one of you to get in front of the microphone. We've got three people roaming around the room with microphones. And you can clearly ask your question because then there's no discussion. And unfortunately, nobody hears anything that anybody's saying, including whoever the local representative is, whether it's local, national, whatever. They're not saying how they're going to vote or what they think about it or whatever. So there's a lot of misinformation as well from that. And of course, that doesn't do anybody any good. So, but it's certainly not going to help to see headlines that say un-America. So here's the question. When you look at the things that we've talked about with healthcare, Is it going to be just a single payer, which I think that's not going to happen. It looks like that option is going to fly off the table. It's going to be a public option as well. It's looking that way, too. Even CNN had this poll. Who do you trust with your health care, the Democrats, the Republicans, or neither? That's a good question. Usually I think their polls are silly. But who do you trust with this? Because it doesn't look like it's going to be bipartisan cooperation. And you know what? That's what it needs to be. If this is going to work, it has to be a bipartisan deal, or it's not going to work. It's not going to sell, and people are not going to buy into it. So there's the question. I mean, are these town halls out of control, or is it freedom of speech? I read another opinion piece over the weekend, heading into the weekend, and in the piece, it was a USA Today piece, but it was a writer for the USA Today. It wasn't the one that's coming out on Monday. And in the piece that they put together, what they're saying is that the internet spreads anonymous chain emails to the public that's vulnerable and gullible, and that groups with a financial or ideological interests give the rumors a huge boost. And then, of course, it's always easy to blame talk radio, saying that talk radio gives an echo chamber for the demonizers. Wow. Talk radio. Let me just say this again. Talk radio provides an echo chamber for the demonizers. So, you know, why keep pushing this forward? And, of course, South Carolina's Jim DeMint certainly didn't help the situation by saying it was a chance to break the president. And, you know, that's the problem. So you have him saying that, and then you have this Pelosi thing coming out, calling people going to these town hall meetings un-American, which I think is not a smart move either. You're going to get people to buy into it. Like, there's confusion over what happens to end-of-life counseling. What does that mean? And what happened was, because I read this now several times, there's a section of the House bill, which I think is bad anyway because it doesn't cut costs, so I don't think I think parts of it have to be scrapped and hacked to pieces anyway. But just follow along. The House bill, in the House bill, it was put in by both parties to allow Medicare to pay doctors for optional end-of-life counseling. I mean, that's already covered in Medicare's visit, their first visit. So, you know, like the do not resuscitate, those kind of things, that's already covered in that. And I guess in putting it there, what they're saying is this way patients and family members have to know what's going on if death is approaching, knowing what, you know, what their wishes are, what their wishes are clear, and obviously millions of people already do that. I keep using my grandfather, but I'll use him as an example. Thank God he's healthy, he's alive, he's happy to be alive, he's doing crossword puzzles, he's living in assisted living, and feels good. But he has a do not resuscitate, because he told my family, if he was really struggling, he didn't want us to have to go through that. Because, of course, knowing what we would do. But he's 93 years old. So that was already something he determined. There are other people who just don't deal with it. So supposedly, and it was just worded badly, that's what it was supposed to be. But it certainly doesn't come out that way. And it doesn't look that way when you read it the way it's worded in the bill. I don't think that this is being twisted into something sinister, because it's written like that. It's written like a euthanasia clause. That's the problem. So if it's supposed to mean something else, then they need to word it differently and address it with the people who are at these town hall meetings so that it makes sense, right? I mean, come on, give me a break. So what do you think? Do you trust anyone in the government to get this right? 800-259-5791, 800-259-5791. I'll tell you what, any kind of health care reform, if there is health care reform, really, honestly, it has to be bipartisan in my mind, because that's the only way to make it work. And I think the other thing is it has to be very clearly laid out, not in these vague general terms that don't make any sense. It's the taxes are going to be raised. There's no question. There's no way they can get this through without raising the taxes. But what about the cost of your health care? Does that go down? How is that changing? The one thing you keep hearing is, well, if you like your health care, you can keep it. Really? Well, how can you keep it if it were to go, for example, to that single payer that was originally discussed? And this, again, therein lies the problem. So, yes, the internet can spread misinformation like wildfire, but it can also be the reverse way, because the bill that's out there doesn't make any sense. 800-259-5791, America Tonight.
Would you give someone $100 for a $10 bill? If you're taking vitamins and minerals in a pill form, that's exactly what you're doing. Hello, my name is Dr. David Friedman. According to the Physician's Desk Reference, many vitamins and minerals in a pill form are 10% absorbed. It doesn't take a mathematician to figure out for every $100 you spend on these pills, you're flushing $90 down the toilet. Start absorbing the nutrients you swallow. Introducing Chews for Health, a delicious tasting chewable containing 16 superfruits, sea vegetables, and antioxidants. You know, you work hard for your money. Isn't it time to start getting what you pay for? Order today.
1-800-210-1922.
With Chews for Health, your body gets to keep the nutrients you swallow. The first 300 callers are going to receive a free copy of my best-selling CD, America's Unbalanced Diet.
1-800-210-1922.
Or go to orderchews.com.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or two Sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
For years, doctors and researchers had known that one of the major pathways to better health is an alkaline diet rich in minerals and antioxidants to keep the body in proper pH balance. For 15 years, people have trusted AlkaZone, the simplest way of keeping the body in pH balance, getting rid of acidic waste buildup, and boosting the immune system through antioxidant support. AlkaZone's unique formula contains potassium, magnesium, calcium, zinc, and the antioxidant selenium, along with 79 trace minerals from ancient marine deposits. Unlike other products, AlkaZone is odorless and tasteless and can be added to any beverage to offset its acidity. AlkaZone also manufactures antioxidant water fountains that will both filter and raise the pH of the tap water in your home to a pH of 10. To learn more and to place your order for a 45-day supply for only $25, visit AlkaZone.com. That's AlkaZone.com. Use coupon code RADIO and receive a limited-time discount. Call AlkaZone today at 1-800-810-1888. That's 1-800-810-1888.
Get into the aftermath of North Korea in just a second here. But before we do that, you know, America Tonight, of course, we love football. We do a thing called Nail the Score when the regular season is upon us. And there was a little preview of the regular season because we had the Hall of Fame game. And you had Tennessee and the Buffalo Bills. Now, I'm not a big fan of the preseason other than fantasy football and getting fantasy football teams ready and trying to kind of size up some of the things that are happening really more in training camps than anything else. But Matt, did you happen to catch any of that Hall of Fame game?
I watched a little bit of it, not a whole lot, but I did happen to see the highlights of the fake punt. Did you see that?
Yes, I did.
That's one of the best fake punts I've ever seen in my life.
I think so, too. It was brilliant, and I had no idea.
He threw in a little basketball, like Magic Johnson style, behind-the-back type thing. Never seen anything like that in football before.
Yeah, neither did I. And Tennessee ended up beating Buffalo, but, of course, now with the Buffalo Bills, T.O. is part of the team. He had a couple of catches. He had, like, 27 yards. And it's typical T.O. He did an interview where he talked about, okay, you know, hey, Andrea what's her name? Andrea Kramer asked him what he thought, you know, being with the Bills or whatever. Well, hey, this team wanted me, and, you know, what happened with the Cowboys? And he said, you'll have to ask them. The, like I said, the typical T.O. balancing act. But it was a night for football, and because John Madden wasn't there, so that was kind of, I think, kind of odd for me. You're so used to John Madden. The whole time I've been watching football, John Madden has been really the guy. And now you have Chris Collinsworth. It's almost worth a discussion as to, wow, what a weird transition. We always talk in politics about filling shoes and people not doing it. And in other positions we see where the backup guy really can't live up to the legend. And in this case, living up to a John Madden, forget about it. So Chris Collinsworth just has to do his own thing. But it is strange to know that he won't be there, because I was really liking Sunday Night Football. But he said, hey, it's time. He knew when to step away and hang with his family. Speaking of stepping away, Henry Kissinger is always sought out. He has not stepped away from politics, or at least his opinion of politics. And he slammed the Clintons, basically, both of them, for what happened in rescuing the two American girls, and saying that, how did that look, and how did that, I'm basically summarizing what his opinion piece in the Washington Post said, but said it was a mistake and it doesn't look good for what's happening with Pyongyang and Kim Jong-il and all that sort of stuff. And I wonder what the fallout's going to be. A couple of things have now started to emerge from that meeting with Kim Jong-il. The first thing is the two women, Yuna Lee and Laura Ling, in conversations, because they were allowed just a few phone calls with their family, in conversations with their family, they were the ones who said, listen, if Bill Clinton comes over here, they're talking about amnesty. They're talking about a pardon. So that came from North Korea completely, originally, and through the two girls. And so then it was relayed through the Obama administration. Would he be willing to do that? And of course he would. And the stage was set from there. So today on Meet the Press, I thought this was pretty good, actually. General James Jones was on. And he's a retired general, of course, national security advisor. And he talked about what appears to be the future for Kim Jong-il, and also the aftermath, obviously, of what's happened as a result of Clinton going in, and what the administration didn't want to happen and what they knew. And of course, I just mentioned some of the things. And here's was his response.
I don't think so. I mean, it may be in Kim Jong-il's mind, and he'll play it out inside of North Korea any way he wants, but we vetted this mission with the South Koreans, with the Japanese, the Chinese, with the Russians, and we had 100% support by all these countries. The former president also asked for the release of a South Korean detainee and the Japanese abductees, which we think would be also a great picture to see the reunification of those families, which we're very concerned about. So, I just think that we wanted to get those girls out. The North Koreans gave us a path to that, and the President of the United States said, look, we want these families reunified. They shouldn't be held in captivity. And by the way, if we hadn't done that, we'd be having a different conversation tonight, because they would have said, well, you had an opportunity just to send the former president. Right, well, that is the future relationship of our two countries is wholly dependent upon the ability of the North Koreans to understand where they are in terms of not only just the United States, but this big issue about nuclear weapons.
Exactly, and that's what we're worried about. Nuclear weapons, what does that mean? Does it mean they want to join the six-party talks? Is there a chance that nuclear inspectors will be able to go in and that they will forget this whole nuclear proliferation stuff? Or does it mean that Kim Jong-il had a photo op, that he agreed to let the girls go, and the rest is history? It just looks good for a couple of weeks. I mean, what are the next steps with North Korea? And I said this, and I'll reemphasize this again, because a lot of people sent me emails on it. You know, here's what the scoop is. The United States, and basically anyone partnered up with the U.S., they have to reestablish their credibility. That's what North Korea has to do. So if they're going to do it, this would be the time to do it. And that means that there would have to be some sort of a serious agreement in place, because nothing has changed. There's no way that you can let North Korea do what they're doing and what they have been doing, and, of course, with the missile tests and everything else, it doesn't make anybody comfortable. And I think that these are two completely separate issues. And I know we talked about this last time, that, and many of you called, and many of you thought, well, there was something devious, underhanded in here, and that's how it happened. And I really believe, and this time I really believe, that this was just a case. I mean, do I think it's a good thing? It wasn't a good thing that it happened. And does it weaken the poker hand at the table for the U.S.? I think it does, yeah. But it's not as underhanded, I think, as everybody originally thought, because I truly believe that it's a power play for Kim Jong-il, but he planted the seed with those girls in their conversations. And so, of course, Bill Clinton is going over there anyway. He's going to do it. And I don't think there was any other kind of a deal on the table, except for that they probably wanted Clinton, and it sounds that way from what was said on that show and from some of the other things that were alluded to, that Clinton broached the topic, not try to broker a deal, but broached the topic about North Korea and the six-party talks. And will anything happen? I mean, you know, Kim Jong-il, to me, he looked like he put up a front, but he certainly did not look like he was in any great shape to me. He looked frail and weak. I mean, all of you, this is radio, but I described the pictures. He's probably less than 100 pounds, probably, I don't know, he could be 88 pounds from the way he looked. You have to figure that the mantle is going to be tossed to the son, one of the sons. And so when that happens, does that change the policies with North Korea? So then maybe it all ends up okay in the end. Bottom line is, do you want North Korea to be loaded with nukes? And you look at our allies and you look at the importance of China, obviously, and Japan as an ally, and then you look at where South Korea is, and the answer is no. Do you want them to be autonomous and to have all kinds of secrets, which, you know, there are obviously already were secrets? The answer to that, obviously, is no as well. But what happens politically, diplomatically moving forward, and as Henry Kissinger said in his op-ed piece, how much damage was done by what happened with the Clintons, because really it was two Clintons, the Secretary of State, and now with Bill Clinton going over, that's a time will tell issue. Because if North Korea ends up agreeing to the talks and they end up allowing the inspectors into the country, then that's a good thing, because the inspectors go in and they'll be allowed to go deep in, and they'll be able to see what's happening, and thus some progress was made. But let's just say I'm not holding my breath. Not to be cynical, but I'm not holding my breath. Hey, you can flip me an email day or night. AmericaTonight.net.
It's a T.O. show right now. All I want to know if you got your popcorn ready. Do you got your popcorn ready? I love me some meat. I can't stand myself.
We got 3 hours left on this thing, and I can't drive and argue with you rubes all at the same time.